Radio Prague News.
Czech javelin thrower Barbora Špotáková has won the bronze medal at the Olympics in Rio. A number of demonstrations are set to take place in Prague during German Chancellor Angela Merkel's upcoming visit to the Czech Republic. And this year's Czech Wine Grower of the Year award goes to the Bzenec Chateau Winery from Eastern Moravia. Czech javelin thrower Barbora Špotáková won the bronze medal at the Olympics in Rio on Thursday with a throw of 64.80 metres. It is her third medal in an Olympics competition. She previously won the gold at the Olympic Games in Beijing 2008 and London 2012. Špotáková told reporters she was delighted with the result, adding that the bronze in Rio was as good as gold. Her third medal makes her the best female javelin thrower of all time. Another Czech hopeful hurdler, Zuzana Hejnová, fell just short of winning a medal in the 400-metre race in Rio. Although she improved her personal record and came in under 54 seconds, she placed fourth. Hejnová told reporters she'd given it her all and had to accept fourth place with humility. A number of demonstrations are set to take place in Prague during German Chancellor Angela Merkel's upcoming visit to the Czech Republic on August the 25. Nine gatherings have been announced so far by Mrs. Merkel's supporters and opponents, the Czech news agency reported on Friday. During her visit to Prague, the German Chancellor is scheduled to meet with Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and President Miloš Zeman. This year's Czech Wine Grower of the Year award goes to the Bzenec Chateau Winery from Eastern Moravia. The awards were handed out on Thursday night at a gala ceremony in Prague's Žofín. A jury of international experts assessed over 600 samples from dozens of winemakers. Bzenec scored a unanimous victory from the judges, followed by Volařík Mikulov and Vinné sklepy Valtice. The Czech film We Are Never Alone, directed by Petr Václav, will be screened in September at the prestigious Toronto Film Festival section Contemporary World Cinema. Markéta Šandrochová of the Czech Film Center told the Czech news agency on Friday. The film premiered at this year's Berlinale Forum section, where it received the Tagesspiel Readers Jury Award. The bleak drama starring Karel Roden and Lenka Vlasáková in the lead roles later screened at several other international film festivals. Unions at the Colleen-based carmaker TPCA, comprising Toyota, Peugeot and Citroën, have reached an agreement on a gradual increase of salaries by 17,000 crowns. According to the new collective agreement, the average gross monthly salary in worker positions should reach 32,500 crowns by the end of the year. The company currently employs some 2,800 people. As of December, the workers will also be working shorter 8-hour shifts. My name is Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a Václav Havel fundraiser sends bells around the world on a journey of remembrance and gratitude, and we'll find out who won the 2016 Wine Grower of the Year award. Later on in the arts, we'll hear from Pavel Fuchsa, a highly respected graphic designer currently working on a project for Prague City Hall. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Foundation Charter 77 has started raising money for a bell to honour the late President Václav Havel on the fifth anniversary of his death in December of this year. The Bell for Havel project will send 30 small bells around the world bearing a message of remembrance and gratitude. They will eventually return to Prague to be sold in an auction. The money raised, together with contributions from individuals, will be used to cast a bell named Václav, which will be placed at the Church of St. Havel in downtown Prague. I asked Evgen Hart from Foundation Charter 77 to tell me how the fundraiser will work.
We have created 30 small bells, which we will distribute to honorable people who had some relation with Mr. Václav Havel. We pass on the bell, which is equipped with a small book in which they write a short dedication. They take a picture of themselves with the bell or a short video, and we place it on our web. And we watch the way of those bells. And the road of the bells will end 1st December, and then we will make an auction for all these bells to raise enough money.
Right, so the people themselves will not be contributing, the ones who get the bells. That is just part of the project.
Well, they can, and I'm delighted if they will. It is not any way a condition.
You have no idea where the bells will be travelling, because everyone can choose who they want to pass it on to.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something which we hope will be very much surprised. When I handed over the first bell to Dagmar Havlová, she expressed that she would like to pass the bell to Dalai Lama, should visit Czech Republic someday in autumn. But it's their choice whom they will pass it.
Right, and basically anyone can contribute by sending money to an account, is that right?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I even expect that there are people abroad, people in Slovakia, in Austria, Israel, United States, Canada. Anybody can contribute. That's why I have done it this way, because, you know, I liked Mr. Havel and I appreciated him very much, because he was really an authentic person, and I never had a feeling that I as a normal citizen could do anything for him. Everything happened about two levels above me, and this is my way to offer people that they could express their feelings and loving to Mr. Havel.
Evgen Hutt from Foundation Charter 77 there. And to find out more about the fundraiser, please go to www.zvonvaclav.cz, or else find the link to that web on our own webpage. Moving on now, the 14th annual Czech Wine Grower of the Year competition culminated in a gala ceremony held in Prague's Žofín on Thursday evening. A jury of international wine experts evaluated a set of six wines from dozens of winemakers, the aim being to recognize all-round winemaking capabilities. 604 samples were tasted in total, with the overall winner, Bzenec Chateau Winery in Far Eastern Moravia, scoring a unanimous victory from the judges. Dominik Jun spoke with Ivo Dvořák, chairman of the jury, and began by asking him to explain the state of the current Czech wine industry.
The Czech Republic is famous with the beer consumption. We have over 150 liters per capita a year, but now the consumption of wine is increasing. We have about 21 liters per capita in a year, and a lot of people switch from beer to wine, because wine is the one of the part of the fashion for the last 10 years. It's increasing.
And how is the Czech Republic recovering from the communist era and the collectivized sort of farming approach of that time? Are wineries, small, medium-sized, once again having to start from scratch?
Last two decades was so big change in the whole wine world. The new technology, it's not only in Czech Republic, it's in the whole world, so change the wine. We have now a lot of wineries which has a good technology. We have a lot of winemakers, they spent time in Germany or Austria. They know the new technology and they use it, and they produce very good wine. Last 5 years, we are very good in the whites, because the climate in Czech Republic is very good for the white grape varieties.
So tell me about the wine of the overall winner, which is Bzenec, if I understand correctly.
Yeah.
Tell me why this wine proved to win.
Zámecké vinařství Bzenec, this is the official name of the winner. They used very good technology, but they have also very good grapes. They have a strict control if they buy some grapes, and this is where they produce the very good wines.
Just generally, for visitors coming to the Czech Republic, visiting this country, what advice would you give them in terms of finding a good Czech wine to drink?
A lot of good restaurants has now the offer or the wine list with a lot of Czech wines, or so many wine bars in Prague, for example, has now a beautiful collection of Czech wines. And I give just my small suggestion, please don't hesitate to try it, because we have so many good Czech wines.
Ivo Dvořák, chairman of the jury of the Czech Wine Grower of the Year competition. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where we now move on to our regular Friday feature, The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
Pavel Fuchsa is a highly respected graphic designer and creative director who this week, along with City Hall, unveiled new posters addressing various changes in the capital, including the sidewalk ban on segways. Fuchsa has worked everywhere from Japan to the Middle East, and in 2012, he was named on a list of the 20 best young graphic designers by Computer Arts. He's also done work for President Barack Obama, as you'll find out. But I began first by asking Pavel Fuchsa about his project for the city of Prague.
I've been given a list of topics, and one of them was actually the one that's focused the most at the foreign visitors, which would be the ban of segways. I'm pretty sure that the remaining ones are focused rather more at the locals, because the Segway poster was the only one that was done bilingual. So the rest of that would be focused entirely or mainly at the locals who speak Czech and would like to be informed about the latest news or changes that the city of Prague has prepared for them.
The Segway is obviously an important one because that is a ban that has just come into effect. Until now, many different companies have been offering sort of these kinds of tours around historic parts of the city center. That's no longer possible, and there's a fine. So The city wanted to address that to make sure that the message would get across.
Well, I'm pretty sure the city wanted to address both the city tour operators as well as the potential customers of theirs, who would rather be informed in advance that that sort of action would be made illegal later on. But the thing is that the segways are more than welcomed to drive on the roads. They were just being banned from the sidewalks, which in my opinion is pretty clever.
What were the topics that were on some of the other posters that are more for the Czech public? I believe the transit pass, the new transit pass, is one of the topics.
They've introduced three posters. One of them was for segways. The other one was for the opportunity for the citizens of Prague to order the tram / bus / subway, some sort of like an Oyster card in London, to order that via internet and then having it delivered via post. And the third one was some sort of like an informational poster that informed the public about the action that's already been made, it's already passed, which was removal of all cars from Malostranské náměstí, which was turned into a no-car zone. These first three posters were introduced to the general public as well as the journalists on the press conference on Monday. And the remaining ones are to be introduced and showed to the general public later on in the upcoming weeks or months.
If we're talking about the symbols, by definition, and I guess this is pretty basic graphic design, what are some of the qualities that these kinds of posters have to be able to get the message across so that people do notice it?
Well, I've selected the very basic and simple visual language. I don't want to go to any overcomplicated, overpolished 3D visuals that the visitors or actually the viewers would have to decipher somehow. So what I've done was I've tried to cut down to the basics, to the main message, and tried to somehow add a little bit of humor into that. So as you can see on the visual with the removal of the cars from Malostranska Namysi, I've tried to come up with some sort of like fairy tale ping, which was a nice addition, that the cars are already removed with a swing of a magic wand.
I read that one thing that you appreciate is very much old-school elements. Graphic design used to be a very tactile experience, whether you were doing letter setting or working with different grades of paper. How far does this fascination go back for you with sort of the old-school elements, that they are important for you?
I've spent my early childhood in Czechoslovakia before 1989, so of course I've been influenced by book covers, by matchbox labels, by posters in the public space, stuff like that. And I must say, to be honest, these things were always on a very high artistic level, even before 1989. So I'm pretty sure that the fascination and the style that I try to use comes or derives from that era. Talk about tactile. I would rather talk about the role of computers in the graphic design, because right now almost anyone can get a graphic design software, and he or she can design a nice looking poster. So it's been made accessible to almost anyone. And I'm afraid that the general level of style has disappeared from that, because it's so accessible to anyone that anyone unfortunately can do that. And I see in general, in the public space, quite a lot of really badly designed pieces of work. So what I'm trying to connect with is the time where you had to think more about what you're doing, rather than doing 80,000 versions, because you can always get back to the original state in the computer. You can always like polish it and spend so much time on polishing. So it lost all the touch with the intellect. It lost all the touch with thinking in advance.
That's the effect of the digital age, basically.
I'm afraid it is.
Does that make it, do you think, all the more important, say, for designers starting out to kind of come at it from, you know, a personal element? This is something that interests them, because you yourself have designed posters or graphic examples for things that don't exist. There's a mm-hmm. playful element there, yeah. Book covers, films that don't exist.
There are two reasons why I did that. Yes, there is a deep feeling that I've done book covers or film posters for pieces that I personally liked a lot. But, and that's a very pragmatic sort of view, it also helped me as a nice addition to my portfolio, because when you're young and you start as a designer, you don't have much assignments, you don't have much works to show to people who would later possibly employ you. So that's my advice to all starting designers and art directors in advertising. Don't just rely on the works that you've been given or done. Come up with your own projects, because it's that sort of projects. These are the sorts of projects where you can show the most your talent. You can show what you're capable of, because you're not anyhow tied by demands, by the client's demands. So you can show off.
One thing that is truly remarkable is the sheer volume of work that you have up on the net, and balancing that out with the perfectionism that is there for each single image. I can't begin to imagine how long a process this must take, how much time on and off you must be spending thinking visually, thinking of images, and logging information away.
Unfortunately, I'm very critical towards my works, and unfortunately towards the works of others as well. Yes, it takes a lot of time, and I used to keep a paper diary, but right now I'm keeping all the ideas in my mobile phone, where I write down all the ideas that cross my mind And later on I go through them, and when there is a time I try to design them or work on them.
So are you always designing, or is there a point when you can just turn off and do something else?
I'd like to say that there is, but unfortunately there in last 5, 6, 7 years there quite wasn't. I have to learn that. I honestly do.
Your work has taken you to some very interesting countries. What were some of the more cutting-edge environments or most cutting-edge environments that you found yourself working in?
I've spent some time in Egypt and Dubai. That was a very nice environment to work in, especially Egypt, which was, I must admit, I was quite afraid, because it was more than a year ago when I was invited to collaborate with the Egyptian agency on a huge pitch for Egyptian Tourism Authority. I was quite afraid, but after 1 month in the center of Cairo, I've changed my mind, and I enjoyed that really much. It's the agency itself was perfectly international mixture of people from all around the world, and it was an awesome experience to spend some time with these people.
Much mention has been made of the fact that you did work for the Obama administration. What concretely was that project about, and did you do that from Prague, or were you based in the US?
This project was done from Prague. That was in 2012, when Mr. President was having his address to nation broadcasted over YouTube, with the eventual possibility for the viewers to give him questions, which he later replied to over Google Hangout. So I was in charge, again, together with his marketing/administrative team, I was in charge of designing the general environment on YouTube and Google Hangout, where the questions were given and later replied.
And that went well?
Yeah, well, I mean, that went well. This, however, I wasn't given a signed photograph. So,
That's what I wanted to ask you. How high you actually got up the hierarchy in the White House staff?
No. I have several emails from Mark Zuckerberg's sister. That's the highest I got.
And that edition of The Arts featuring designer Pavel Fuksa brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and take care.